Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, September 25th, and we just recapped a great week in sports in general, coming from the NFL starting on Thursday to your college football to your pro football to Tiger Woods to Monday Night Football, and now we're right back at it again. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Welcome again to Crossroads Sports Radio, presented by Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we're going to recap the Colts Week 3, the NCAA football from Week 4, the Cleveland Browns win, the Patriots possible dynasty that is crumbling at their feet, Tiger Woods, the NBA starting up. Everything is going on right now. Jonathan Birdsong is going to join us shortly here once again to talk all things sports. I think we got him right here. Let's find out. My man John, what's going on?
Brent Reif, good evening. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right for a Tuesday night, you know, kicking back with a nice little pumpkin beer and going to talk a little bit of sports.
Well, it is a season for pumpkin spices or not, so I'm ready to talk.
All right, get your UGG boots out. We're ready. Well, first let's start off with the NFL. So that's the mega multi. Everybody's watching that more than college. Thursday night, the Cleveland Browns and the New York Football Jets. It looked like two types of the Cleveland Browns teams played on there. The first half with Tyrod Taylor, and then Baker touchdown maker and his team came out in the second half and got their first win in over 600 some days. John, what'd you think? I called it. I called that one.
You did call that one. Yeah, you know. All jokes aside, you got to feel for Cleveland Brown and Cleveland fans. I just hope that, you know, the Baker touchdown maker isn't flashing the pan and in week seven, some defensive coordinators figured out how to, you know, contain Baker Mayfield. But kid looks like he got a lot of magic and looks like he probably should have been starting from day one. So, but I know you paid for in the offseason, you paid for X amount of dollars for veteran quarterback to come here, and we know he's good, but he also had the opportunity to draft, you know, the best talent, so that, you know, Cleveland's kind of at a stonewall here somewhat, but luckily he didn't lose his job to lost the job basically to injury. He got injured, right, Garrett?
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, so he'll be a concussion protocol for the next couple of games. Baker Mayfield, we'll see what other magic he got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if he continues to progress, if the team continues to win, then, you know, I would assume Tyrod Taylor will continue to sit. So,
yeah. But it definitely looked like Baker, he had a hell of a lot more zip on his ball than what Tyrod had. And you could even tell because Callaway and Landry and their tight end, Njoku, they couldn't catch the ball starting out when Baker was throwing. He was throwing so much zip on it. They weren't expecting it.
Who else is on the list of coaches to be fired?
Well, I did tell you Todd Bowles. And lose to a team that hasn't won in 2 years.
You did say Todd Bowles.
I've got a list of six right now, actually, on my list. No particular order for...
Who's the Cleveland coach? What's his name? Add him to the list.
Hugh Jackson.
Add him to the list.
I don't think so. If they can get five or six wins, I think he keeps his job.
Yeah, but I'm backing into wins now. I'm making like.
Well.
Now, if you got elite level talent, if you got elite level talent, you got to be elite level led too. So if you ain't the guy, then you need to step aside. That's the way I would run the organization. But go ahead.
Well, I got Todd Bowles as my number one. I've got John Harbaugh sitting at number two with the Ravens. Steve Wilks from the Arizona Cardinals, he'll be number three on the list. He'll be a one-and-doneer. John, I just watched that Arizona Cardinal game the other day. I watched that on Sunday for fantasy purposes.
Okay.
And Sam Bradford's your quarterback, and that's the best you can go out and get. Hell, I would have got Kaepernick to give it a shot
That would be my excuse. Sam Bradford's my quarterback, ownership, general manager. What was I supposed to do?
And Rosen came in, and he looked terrible. Deer in the headlights.
Well.
Deer in the headlights.
He's unprepared. He talked a good talk, man, and people caught a buzz, but he's a good talker.
So Wilkes is on my third list. My fourth one may be a shock to you, and I believe they won this week. Let me just find out for sure because I don't want to be wrong. I've wronged too much on this damn show in the past. They did win. Okay, so they did win. They're sitting at 2-1, but watching Washington, because Jay Gruden, depending on how this season ends for them, he might be on the hook in Washington. I even go as far as to say one of the two Grudens won't be there next year. Oakland's 0-3, and oof, if they lose the Baker touchdown maker this week, you're sitting at 0-4 with Chucky. He may have to
are you trying to say Chucky's out of touch?
Oof. Yeah, he may just have to be the GM. He may just have to go into the ownership role there and just and let somebody else come into coaching. This guy a little bit more time, and he needs to get his ass back in the press conference. No, Gruden's are a long shot. They're on my list of getting the bounce. I think if anybody, I got Vance Joseph from Denver. I've got him on my list. If that goes south quickly out there in Denver, I can see John Elway parting ways with him. They got a little bit of a quarterback now with Case Keenum, so, you know, off the train wreck that they had last year.
Yeah, but whew.
And then I got the last one for you. Number 6, Jason Garrett in Dallas. Hot seat.
Jerry Jones will never fire Jason Garrett.
He's going to have to if you don't.
Fire. Job.
What are they going to do, ask him to resign?
Him and our got job security. Cincinnati's coach, Marvin Lewis.
Lewis?
job security, lifetime. Seemingly.
Yeah, seemingly, yes.
Until they win a Super Bowl or do something spectacular in the playoff. Because the same thing Bengals when they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Looking at some of the weekend, off the games from the weekend, let's go. I'm looking at the schedule now that we had. Saints won a big road game in Atlanta. A lot of points scored, and I believe I did take the Saints in this one over the ATL. And I think the Falcons have found their number two wide receiver on that team. And no, I'm not talking about Calvin Ridley. I'm talking about Julio Jones as their number two. So Calvin Ridley shelling out. And once again, we don't look for Julio Jones in the red zone. And Atlanta's troubles continue. Dan Quinn, he may be on the hot seat. He's close. He's close to that top six.
Dan Quinn, this is his offensive coordinator, who's currently head coach in San Francisco, I do believe.
Yeah.
I would say you bring up great key points about the Atlanta Falcons. It sounds like, though, I'll take it the other route. Sounds like you can throw against the Saints secondary. Like, what's going on there? Anybody can throw on the secondary, or you can score on the Saints because they're going to let you score. So,
yeah.
I know Saints fans don't like to show up till like November. They like to show out, you know what I mean? But I haven't heard I have no faith in the Saints. I don't.
I'm starting to lose mine.
A lot of people picked them to go Super Bowl. I was like, dude, you can't go Super Bowl giving up that many points.
Was me. And then I'm off of it. I'm off of it. I've got a new NFC team, and they ain't going to be beat.
I already know who it is.
I talked about him last week. The Team of Destiny.
B.O.D.
The Los Angeles Rams. I'll call them St. Louis. The Los Angeles Rams. Boy, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, that defense.
Man. Yeah.
They took your boy Phillip to the woodshed.
You know, Brandon, they're headed down and down on the collision course with the Kansas City Chiefs, man. It's gonna be a much watch game. I believe you me. Believe you me, but it looks like the Rams are TOD, Team of Destiny.
Yeah. Panthers win.
I can't see them lose 42 games this whole season.
Yeah, the only way I see the Rams losing is if injury bug continues to hamper them. I mean, they lost Tlaib for this week. They lost Marcus Peters. So, yeah, two of their secondary guys. But I got faith in McVay. The fact that he's about the same age as me is baffling. And he's sitting there coaching an NFL team, and I'm sitting here in Indianapolis, Indiana. So that's – but I like kind of what they've got going back out there. And we kind of talked earlier a couple shows ago about their contracts and the guys they've brought in. So I kind of like what they've got. Now, they've got a short week, because they play this Thursday night against a team that did not show up at home. And that'd be the Minnesota Vikings. We talked how bad the Buffalo Bills were. Egg on my face. They came out and shelled out.
A lot of egg. I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable.
Kirk Cousins, overrated quarterback?
Very much so. Very much so. Minnesota didn't move the meter. That was the point. The whole point of moving quarterbacks was to move the meter. So that coaching staff, I mean, they got a lot to answer for. Like, I would assume, like, moving the meter, like changing quarterbacks, like we're upgrading in that position, departing ways, all the emotions from last year's Minnesota team. And then, I mean, I know, I guess they came up short. I guess technically they came up short because quarterback is though we emotionally love him, he's limited in what he can do. Limited.
Right.
He's not special. You know what I mean? But so we brought in a guy who we thought who's on, if you squint, even if you squint, Kirk Cousins is not special.
Not at all. I'm not a believer.
When you're looking at losses, when you look at losses, from a fantasy standpoint, and for guys who's like, man, can you believe, 10 years from now, I'd be like, man, Cousins used to pack it in and draw. Like, oh, my God. And yeah, he's got great numbers. He has great numbers. But wins and losses is not, you know, it's not his thing. And then, you know, and even then, when you look at wins and losses, it's like 500. It might be
right
450. But, you know, so, yeah, Minnesota did not improve. The defense is still solid, but, you know, they can't play all games. So
yeah,
that's
it's
why
I would have kept Teddy Bridgewater. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't name their backup.
You know,
I have no idea who their backup is.
That's the story. It's one of the stories. That's like that call. Like, everybody talked about similar ideas and things on all radio shows, but that's the story nobody's talking about. Like, what Minnesota was supposed to, like, move the meter. Like, they were trying to be in serious contention and conversation for going to the Super Bowl. And, like, now,
yeah,
it's a step back. Or it's they're in the same lane. I thought the Chicago Bears could be the number one NFC, you know what I mean, next year. They're number one right now. Partially due to Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers hurt, and, you know, things not still going in Green Bay's favor, ball, not, you know, things.
Right.
Penalties and whatnot. They'll figure out their way in Green Bay, because they always do. But, like, Minnesota, and guess what? Detroit's not looking that bad anymore. They actually beat. And we'll get to New England in a second. But Minnesota did not move the meter up. And that's the story nobody's talking about. Pretty good. Glad you brought it up. Nobody's talking about that one. Everybody's talking about something else.
Yeah, I really thought, you know, and Teddy went to the Jets, and I thought, okay, well, maybe he'll hook on there. And then they're all in love with Denard, and then they shipped him to New Orleans, where I think he could flourish in New Orleans once Drew Brees is gone, whether it be a year or now or 2 years from now. And, you know, I like that for Tabor. I don't know why Minnesota abandoned him. It's not like he did something destructive on the team, or he did something destructive to him for his injury. My God, he was on the practice field. and tore the ACL. So I don't know. That I feel like there's something else there, or the organization is just complete idiots in the front office. So it's one of those two.
I think that might be it, Brent. The organization is complete idiots.
A shocker game of the week, I think, was the Tennessee Titans winning 9-6 over the Jaguars. Blake Bortles came back down to earth, I guess.
That's 1954. Once his quarterback. 9-6. Horrible.
9-6. Now, Vegas did give it an over-under, the lowest, at 34. So Vegas kind of had an idea it was going to be a low-scoring game. I actually put a little bit of – we'll put a money on that game to be the hit the under, and it actually, thank God, hit. But it seems like going back looking at two teams, they just don't score on each other. And, yeah, you can give credit to the Jaguars' defense showing up again, but, I mean, no Leonard Fournette for the Jaguars once again, and Bortles came back down to life. And, my God, Mariota had to play after what's-his-face? Gabbert went out with a concussion. Who wasn't going to play. Now Mariota has to come in with a bum hand, can't even squeeze the football, and luckily he didn't get hurt anymore.
And Tennessee is the number one team in the division.
They are. That's the scary thing.
How long has that been said? Is Terry McKinnon been there?
Yeah. The Chiefs rolling, as you talked about a little bit ago, the Chiefs rolled 38-27 over the 49ers. My God, Patrick Mahomes is still a machine himself. Kareem Hunt had a couple touchdowns on the win against me in fantasy football and scored two touchdowns. Didn't get much yardage, but I think the biggest storyline there, two big storylines. Number one, the Chiefs continue to roll and are putting up the points, and Andy Reid, kind of like the old Eagles teams. And then the Niners losing Jimmy G, their $127 million quarterback. Now they've lost where they look to now. I don't know. They may should have given a call to Teddy Bridgewater.
You think never mind. San Fran wouldn't call and trade. They wouldn't call and ask about a trade.
You know who I think they should go after? There's a guy in South Florida, or there's a guy in Florida right now that doesn't really have a job due to Fitzmagic. And Jameis Winston, maybe you should go out to San Francisco.
In San Francisco?
Maybe.
Could be a different look.
Here's my thing, John. You have 1 year left on Jameis' deal, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that. I believe there's 1 year left on that deal. And you know you're going to get Jimmy G back next year. Why not give it a shot? I mean, it's a 1 year rental. So we just see. I'm at a salary cap right now or breakdown.
For Jameis Winston. Wow.
Yeah, so he's only got one more year left on this deal. He's got this year and then next year. Then he's a free agent. So, you know, you're really only taking over.
Tim's going to ask for a first rounder, you would think.
Yeah, you would think so.
As goofy as Jameis Winston might be, he can play football. When you get him, you know, get him out there.
I would be interesting to see. We talked a little about the Redskins and Packers getting it done. They've talked about the Rams.
Talk about the sorry Patriots.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting down the line. New England. By the way, I got a Mahomes story. I got a Patrick Mahomes story I just read 2 years ago. Mahomes was a quarterback for Texas Tech, and they took on Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield. And my God, the box score was 65-58 was the final score. Baker Mayfield's stat line threw for 500 and some yards and 8 touchdowns in that game.
Football.
Yeah, and Pat Mahomes, he ended up passing for 757 yards or so in that game and throwing 7 touchdowns himself. So the highest total yards in an NCAA football game was between Mahomes and Baker Mayfield 2 years ago. Baker's team got the win. You didn't hear much about Mahomes, but that 700-some yard passing, that's still a school. That's still a NCAA record to this day. So the kid knows how to throw the pigskin.
Correct.
So,
he's a beast.
He is. So looking from
I hope Andy Reid don't jinx him.
Yeah, we'll see. Going from the beasts, you can call the Lions a bunch of beasts now. It's a good segue. Lions 26, New England Patriots 10. John, you mentioned it last week in our show. The Patriots dynasty was dying. I'm sure you still believe it's a dying dynasty.
The Patriots can still win their division, but they're drawing on straws when they're bringing in, trading for Josh Groban.
Yeah.
They're drawing on straws. They don't have enough receivers. Speed, and that's why the offense is sputtering. And defense, again, Bill Belichick's defense is always going to be excellent, but it cannot be out there all day.
Yeah, and that was embarrassing Sunday night for somebody that I had Tom Brady as my quarterback for fantasy. So being out on the field at all, and Lions just running past the Patriots. You're getting 7-8 yards on a first down run. New England could not stop them all night.
I watched Dwayne Allen. Everybody says Dwayne. His introduction. Dwayne Allen.
Right.
He seems sad. I bet he hates being there.
Uh huh.
But even him, he was a step slower here, so he's older there. They got speed issues. They'll still, when it gets, in the trenches of AFC East, and is Miami going to step up and not choke in Foxborough? I mean, in Foxborough, they're darn near unbeatable, right? Either with officials from the help or the rabid crowd, whatever falls in between both of those, probably the crowd. They New England got one of the loudest crowds, but,
right.
They outside of that division, and they got some issues. They got some issues that if they got into a scoring battle, that they as presently stated, they couldn't win.
I think they'll be all right. I said it last week. I said they may lose. They usually lose their first one or two games. Well, guess what? There's their second game. Now they're going to roll off 12 straight. Belichick's going to shore up that defense. You watch. They play. I believe they played the Miami Dolphins, first place Miami.
They got you can't score 10 points on the Detroit Lions. It's a confidence builder. I don't want to totally shade it. It's a confidence builder for the rest part of the season going into for the Detroit Lions. Like, dude, guess what? We just beat New England. Who wouldn't feel on top of the world, football player?
Right.
And then other teams now got to kind of respect that they should, but we still know Detroit Lions is a Matthew Stafford show. It's his
right.
It's either his the crash and burn. How about that? I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, John,
it ain't too great off the crash and burn, but that's what's going to kind of happen with Detroit. But the Patriots are slow on offense.
But that gets upgraded. That automatically gets upgraded because you got Josh Gordon who's going to start playing this week. There's a wide receiver. After this week, you get Julian Edelman, who's Tom Brady's blanket. He comes back, his security blanket. He is back. So you get your wide receivers. You have your entire core. So now there's no excuse. Edelman's going to catch those slot passes. He's the Brady's go-to
Edelman's
guy.
Comes off the PEDs. Okay, I got you.
Edelman is off. He's got one more game to serve this week, and then he is back. So you got a fresh Edelman. I think they're fine with the offense.
He's going to be a step slower. I'm trying to be smart Alex. He's going to be a step slower off the
Sony Michael, or Michelle, he's going to be a lot better. He was dropping passes, but, Belichick and them kept going to him in the red zone. When they were in the red zone, Sony Michelle kept getting those carries. Rex Burkhead hurt, so they're just going to have two running backs going this week with James White and Sony Michelle. Out there with Brady, which are two backs that can catch passes. I honestly believe the Patriots are fine. Like you said, they're still in the division. I believe they're still going to be maybe a top two seed if they don't end up winning the whole being the number one seed in the AFC.
I hope JG don't get caught with weed or something, smoking in the back.
I hope he doesn't either. I want him to have a good career. And it's sad what he's kind of gone through.
That's the shocker. Like, usually Bill Belichick stays away from them kind of guys.
Well, not really. Corey Dillon, Randy Moss.
They all have limited time.
LeGarrette Blount with the weed. So, Haynesworth,
yeah.
LeGarrette Moss. So Belichick takes those guys, and they give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't. But it's a good – it's a, like a lottery shot. You're picking a lottery ticket and hope to God it hits. And why the other team is in the NFL. Hey, John, answer me this. I got a question for you. I just noticed this last night in the game. If you're a defensive player and the guard that's right next to the center, before they hike the ball, he always looks up, looks around the quarterback, and then he slaps the center on the side of the leg to hike the ball. As a defender, why don't you time that perfectly? You know when the hike is going to be. I don't understand how more teams don't jump the ball quicker with that. You know he's going to do it as soon as he slaps his leg.
I don't know. That's an interesting football question.
I don't get it. I seen it last night in the game, and Pittsburgh did it, and it just they slapped the leg, and I don't know how the Bucs didn't get back there to get him on a lot of those times. But I don't know. Football question, I'll have to say for a football guy, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand the reasoning, but I do understand that the ceiling and the earth is not falling down in Pittsburgh currently. All is right in Pittsburgh right now. 30-27 win. It was a great first half, and it was an okay second half. Yeah, Steelers almost gave it away, but they only had three possessions in the entire second half, and the third possession was the one for the game winner.
Fitzgerald, that's who gave it away.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, definitely.
I'm sorry.
Fitzmagic ended.
Yeah, Fitzmagic ended. I was thinking about this earlier today on the drive into work. I see now why the team in the locker room is against Le'Veon Bell. Like, why things are the way they are. And, like, how some – it's like it's probably, in my eyes, Brandon, I know I'm not the fan that you are or the insider that you are with this particular franchise. But I see why the problem is they offensively score. Like, the opposite of the Patriots. They can score anytime they ready to score. So long as everybody's playing happy, unison, football together. That's the best offensive team I've ever seen of a Pittsburgh Steelers team. And guess what? It would be even more better. Like, that's horrible. It's horrible English. It would even be even better, even greater. It might even be greatest show on turf. If Bell was playing, we wouldn't have to worry about. So I think the defense finally kind of got stopped. They finally kind of got pissed to getting called out, right? So they played some hawk 'em up defense. And they said, offense, do your thing. And that's kind of what they brought pressure. You know?
They did.
Now, I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think they have the staff, because they paid so much money to the offense. I don't think they have the staff to sustain that kind of pressure game after game after game, as they've done years in the past, as they've done with the synonymous with Steeler everything, right? But they do have a very fantastic, like, dude, Bell was out there, man, we would be like, oh my God, the Steelers are going to roll over everybody, including the Patriots and anybody else who thinks anything to do in the AFC, if he was there, because he's that good. He's that good. Now we're going to transition a little bit to the coach. He's that good that I think ownership is the one spearheading these rumors, my personal opinion, about him coming to the Colts. The Colts have an affinity, they do, with running backs who can do a little bit of both. They like running backs who can receive. They like running backs who obviously can run. Guess what? Bell does that, right? Edgerrin James
absolutely.
Marshall Faulk. They like dual threat. But in the past, they were kind of like homegrown, brought through the system, drafted, brought them, and Indianapolis, they showed up. So that's the risk factor, is bringing Bell here to make this team better, to make Andrew Luck better, because we see he struggles. We've seen that. That's a struggle. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't want everybody. I don't want to go blah blah blah. Had everybody else talk on their radio show. Yes, Colts win 1-for-5 in the red zone. That's on Andrew Luck. My personal opinion. That's what everybody else. That's an unpopular opinion, probably, but that's on Andrew Luck for them going 1-for-5 this last past game. Again, Colts winning, making with effort, young effort, making mistakes too, right? But they're winning games, or they're staying in games, staying with teams that they probably shouldn't be staying with, right? Because of their youth. But who's messing it up? Mr. 1-for-5. Okay?
Right.
Or whatever, you know, I mean, something happens that Andrew Luck is tied to. You know why he's tied to? Because he's the quarterback, he's the leader of the team, right?
Uh-huh.
But in all seriousness, Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, they'd be unstoppable. And like I said, we would be saying, oh, my God, more fantastic things than we'd ever think about with the Steelers.
Yeah.
So
that's where, I agree
that's
with
how
that.
That's how I see the Pittsburgh Steelers. But
I think, Brandon,
I don't know what's going to happen because they're talking about trading him. And I don't know how wacky that is about bringing in a running back this time, you know, before week 6 or whatever, into your organization. Is he going to play? How is he going to get – I mean, and like how that – not here. I don't think – he wouldn't get coming to trade here. He'd come in maybe free agency next year.
Right.
But I don't – I would look like this. I'm not necessarily a football guy. I ain't a millionaire either. But I would look at Bell's situation like this. If I'm him, sign with the team, take whatever money, whatever, and then next year you part ways. This year, just be magical. You can see the writing's on the wall for the AFC. Can you not? Is it not winnable? So long as if I'm coming back and I'm 100% and I'm the missing piece, you go out on the Super Bowl. I mean, who knows what happens if when you get to the Super Bowl. I'm just talking about getting through there. I'm not saying winning it now. But if you feel me? If they can just get to the Super Bowl and you win it and you win it and you were the guy that helped them, you were the main, you were the guy that got them over next year, man, your price, if you say $18 million, you get $18 million, right?
Yeah.
And they have to pay you because you're Bell, the guy who won in the Super Bowl. That's how I would write the story. That's how I write the story. But unfortunately, I'm
Jonathan Birdsong preaching to the choir. He's got the book held high. I agree. A couple takeaways from the game. For one, like you said, the offense can score. Steelers offense can score whenever they want, and it shows that, you know, even with James Conner in there, he can get the job done late when needed to. Ben was very efficient, 30 of 38 for 353 and 3 touchdowns. The interception that he threw, it was a hell of a pick play by the Buccaneer defender. I didn't even see it coming, and then boom, it was picked off. This defense, John, yes, they tweaked their philosophy. They got after the quarterback, Fitzpatrick, a little bit more. But I'm still concerned because, like I said, the Steelers' offense has to score, or this defense is just going to keep giving up yardage. The secondary is trash. Sensabaugh played terrible. Mike Hilton got hurt, had to go out of the game. And Artie Burns was struggling. You got Morgan Burnett, who was out. Joe Hayden just came back from injury. So the Steelers' secondary has already been shot. It's been shot the last 2-3 years, and they've yet to improve it very much, except for getting Joe Hayden on board. Where I think this team is going to struggle, John, and we've talked in the past about the Antonio Brown situation, the Le'Veon Bell situation, Mike Tomlin as he left the locker room or whatnot. John, the penalties, team penalties for 155 yards for the Steelers, you should not win a ball game when you have that many penalties. This defense is very undisciplined. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say there was a couple of those penalties, roughing the passers, that were complete BS by the refs, and we're going to talk about that here shortly. But you can't be undisciplined on the football field and expect to win, even if you want to try to be a Super Bowl team. If you get rack up double-digit penalties, they are the lead league right now in penalties for the year. And if you go back and look at the past previous years, the teams that are in the lead with penalties, they don't go anywhere. And that's what Mike Tomlin and this team has to fix, is these stupid penalties. That was me on my soapbox.
He fixes, like I said, man, maybe, you know, if Bell comes back, he fixes a lot of those things, you know. Well, you're talking about defensive penalties. But like I said, I, again, offensively, And this is the offensive time of era of football. Offensively, right. Comes back, they'll be unbeatable team. So,
okay.
Everybody needs to put their ego in check and just come on home.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to the hometown team here, the Indianapolis Colts losing 20-16 against the Eagles. Very competitive game. Sloppy game with it somewhat a little bit rainy there in Philly. John, I went back and listened to our show. I said I called that the Colts would be leading at halftime and would be very competitive, and then Eagles would blow the doors open in the second half, which was not the case. Eagles led 10-7 at halftime, but the Colts were very competitive. Luck 25-40, only for 164 yards, John. I'm concerned about that velocity and that arm strength. And especially showed on the last play of the game when they needed that Hail Mary and they decided to bring Brissett out instead of using Andrew Luck. They didn't want to test it.
I was trying to let that substitution not bother me.
It's bothered me.
Until you started talking about arm strength. Like, I feel like the $145 or $155 million quarterback stays in if he can throw whatever. So, I'm not gonna say Andrew Luck. He came out even said, you know, Jacoby. And he said some very leadership things that, you know, he gave. He said, yeah, Jacoby throws deep ball better than me. I was like, what? Like, dude, you should supposed to be like, nah. I don't want to not say, hey, hell, I should have been out there. But I don't know. I don't like trying to win games on Hail Marys. They're exciting. And if you win, you know what I mean? But, again, they had plenty of chances to win the game.
They did.
Came up short. This play calling for this defense, I can't question that. That the Colts have brought the defense is rock solid. And, like, there's nothing gaping. Really, I'm still concerned about the secondary, of course, safety, really, to be honest with you. But offensively, man, they got to do better. T.Y. Hilton, you got to reel them in.
Yeah.
And I know Doyle was out, so, but we can't use those, you know, saying as an excuse.
T.Y. Hilton targeted 10 times, 5 catches, 50 yards. Now, don't let that 50 yards look at you, because one of the catches was for 29. So, really, T.Y. wasn't really too much of a target in that game. Eric Ebron had 11 targets for 5 catches. Ryan Grant had the 3 catches for 35 yards and the touchdown, the 4-yard touchdown from Luck there in the first quarter. But other than that, John, you're not getting those down-the-field passes, really, that extends the field from those defenders. And it's almost like little peewee football. You're getting the quarterback out there just to kind of throw a little dink and dunks down the field. And this is game number 3. And I figured by now Luck would have progressed more than where he's at currently.
Well, if we had a better rushing game, it would probably look a little bit better.
Do you know who your leading rusher was Sunday?
Drop it on me.
Andrew Luck. 33 yards.
Right.
One attempt, 33 yards. Jordan Wilkins had six carries, 19, and Hines had 5 and 18. So, really, 20 yards, 40 yards combined from your two other running backs.
Yeah, and they cut another guy today.
Christine Michael, yes. And I think they've cut him because that's a good sign that Marlon Mack is back this week.
Well, hey, Marlon Mack got an opportunity to be great for sure, because the rushing is not there. But I would take the Bell to the Colts. Be honest with you, even I know Bell's better than him, and he knows it too. But
right.
I would take that personal. I would take that personal. So, like, you know, don't worry about Bell. You got me. So hopefully he can get some good progress.
Yeah, you look at the defense. Leonard, again, had 9 tackles. Gaithers had 10 tackles out there for the Colts. So looking there, good there. Your first-round pick from 2 years ago, Hooker had six tackles, but, you know, he's not making – to me, I thought he would progress more than he has as well. I figured he'd have a lot better on the secondary, as you talked about, but he hasn't progressed as I thought.
Right. Still a little bit waiting.
Frank White, right, said it in the paper. He's not concerned about Luck's velocity. Well, I, for one, am, and it shows in the stats. It shows that you had no trust in him for the ball, and we'll see what happens. You got a big division game this weekend out at Lucas Oil Stadium. You got the winless Texans coming in to take on the Colts. By the way, 7 on my hot seat list would be Bill O'Brien.
Of course. Absolutely.
If you're not starting to produce, my friend, and you got that talent down there, it's time to start looking for another job. So, but yeah, Colts, I think this is a must win for them this weekend against Houston. I've got the Colts winning 24-20 over the Texans, 24-20.
It's probably good. That's probably good. Good call. Texans are looking real vulnerable. They do have the ability to score. But there's nothing real signature about the team anymore on either side of the ball. So, Colts at home. I'd even take it 27-20.
Okay. Perfect. Looking at college football, kind of a bland weekend a little bit, but Purdue, the Boilermakers, finally getting that win, convincing fashion.
Really.
Yeah, first time in 20-some games or so they finally beat a ranked opponent. David Blough, wow. Defense actually played well in that game, surprisingly. So shout out to Purdue for their first win, and they head to the team that lost again.
That's the Purdue I thought we'd see. Game one.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And now they go to Nebraska, where we talked about last week with Scott Frost.
Oh, man. Dude, I can't talk no trash for anybody. Scott Frost seemingly doesn't have everybody's attention. But they lost to Troy. That was last week.
Yeah. They went and got smacked by Michigan.
That was a massacre. That was like, you know, I say John Harbaugh has to beat somebody. This is not, I mean, Nebraska and Scott Frost are somebodies, but nah. they're somebody, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like, John Harbaugh has to beat Nick Saban. That's what I mean. John Harbaugh has to beat Urban Meyer. That's somebody. Scott Frost is in a position where we believe in Scott Frost, don't we? We believe in his, you know what I'm saying, what he's built with either at Nebraska as a player and down in Florida with UCF, correct? I believe, right? And what he did with they recognize themselves as national champions. They never did. They didn't lose a game, and then they go on to be the SEC team in a bowl game. Sugar Bowl. I can't remember what bowl. Don't quote me on that. But they did beat the SEC team in a bowl game.
Yeah,
that they weren't. They weren't paying for it. Scott Frost is back now, and we assume that Scott. I'm like, it's an acceptable loss, Brandon. It's an acceptable loss to lose to Colorado. That's a rivalry that they don't even play anymore. That like now that you know they have to book. As you know, I mean, remember we played, and then they roll out all the tape of Cordell Stewart playing, or Scott Frost playing Colorado, or Cordell Stewart playing Nebraska, and so on, and you know, and Tom Osborne, you know, that's a rivalry game. Losing that game is acceptable. Now, in these days, now, back in the day, it wasn't like losing to Colorado or losing to Texas back when Nebraska was with the Big 12. That's unacceptable. Like now, it's acceptable because now it's an outside game. But losing to Troy and to get blown out by Michigan, that's unacceptable. So I think Scott has to, not that I'm on first terms, Coach Scott Frost, he's going to have to check out the rest of the guys that he didn't recruit.
Yeah, I think he needs to get his own roster in there a little bit. I think he'll be safe for the job, but tough sledding first year.
Yep.
And then the one I wanted to pull my hair out on Saturday night was Oregon and Stanford. Just because I did take Oregon, put some money on them to cover the game, and all they had to do was protect the damn football with 30 seconds to go. They fumble it, Stanford gets the ball, hits a field goal, ties it up, goes overtime, and Stanford stuns Oregon in Eugene. That one hurt a lot. Especially on the card. So.
I won't necessarily say that I called it. I thought it would be close. Oregon will get better as the season progresses. They'll stun. They'll have some more stunners.
Yeah. Well, after our Crossroads pick'em for week four, both me and you both went 5-2 last week. So bounce back. I had a better bounce back this past week. So we're tied still. We're both 19-8. So we're still above 500, John. We're chugging right along. And for week five, we've got
the Hoosiers let me down.
They did. They did let you down big time. That's why I took Sparty. But we've got seven games on the slate for this week. First one, we have Kent State, 1-3, heading to Ball State. So the Cardinals and Kent State both 1-3. I'm going to take Ball State at home in this game.
Ball State got to get a win. They got to get a win. I'm going Ball State.
Okay. Purdue Boilermakers 1-3 headed to, who we just talked about, Scott Frost, Nebraska, 0-3. Who you got in this one, John?
I got the Boilermakers winning.
Okay, you got the Boilermakers. I'm actually taking Nebraska in this game.
Ooh.
I'm going to take Nebraska. So all those homers out there that thought I was homer for Purdue, hey, I've got the Cornhuskers in this one at home. This is where Scott Frost gets that win against a Big Ten team. Indiana Hoosiers 3-1, travel to 1-3 Rutgers. I think the Hoosiers roll in this game and roll big.
I would ask you the question, why is Rutgers in the Big Ten? Yes, Hoosiers was
I have no idea. I took Buffalo. And they destroyed them.
Rutgers used to be a decent, like, middle college, small college type of university when it came to football. But they decided to go to the Big Ten. The Big Ten tried to align with them for money purposes and whatnot. But they're a walking mat.
Rutgers haven't been relevant since C. Vivian Stringer was the head coach of the women's basketball team there.
Hold on, man. They've been more maybe so.
They have who was the men's basketball coach there that got in trouble for beating up his players or something, choking out his players. It was on camera. I can't think who that guy was. I guess they were relevant for that too there. Number 12, West Virginia, 3-0, heading to Texas Tech, number 25, 3-1. I'm at Will Greer and the Mountaineers, West Virginia, to continue to roll.
West Virginia looks real good, and slicing and dicing, looking real good as far as as far as Big 12 teams. I think they'll be there right there at the end this year. So yeah, I gotta go with West Virginia. I think they might win the Big 12.
Okay, yeah, it's gonna be a good game. Them and Oklahoma. Once it comes down to those two, even Texas. Texas play well. I have learned one thing. I will raise my hand. I will never, ever again, and this everybody write this down, I will never again bet for or against the Texas Longhorns. I am 0-3 this year when I've bet for them or against them, so I am done. I'm off the Longhorns.
This ain't the Texas team that you grew up on. Or you had heard.
No, it's not, but I've picked them to lose games by a lot, and they've ended up winning them or covering the spreads. So
they're ridiculous. They're ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But
yeah,
they still I don't get it either. I don't get it at all. Beat TCU to lose to Maryland.
Mm.
I don't get it.
The big one of the night, one I think both of us will be watching on TV, number 4, Ohio State, Urban Meyer's Buckeyes, heading to number 9, Happy Valley, Penn State. The Battle of the States, the Big Ten, pretty much whoever wins this game is going to represent the Big Ten East in Lucas Oil Stadium. John, who do you have in this one?
You know what? Penn State been campaigning and running up the score on people for this
Uh-oh.
Exact purpose. They're getting
Uh-oh.
Ready to lose.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were – I just say, John Birdsong does not go against Urban Meyer. I've learned that.
I like Penn State. I like them. I like them. I like them to win to make things even more convoluted going further down the pipeline, because I think Ohio State might take a loss going down the pipeline, going down further down the season. But as far as this is concerned, Penn State will win. They'll mess around and end up beating Wisconsin or mess around and beat Michigan or beating somebody that Ohio State didn't beat. And it'll make things, you know, why ain't Penn State in the top 5? Well, guess what? They lost to Ohio State when they should have, you know, when they were trying to run up the score on everybody else, right? I think right now Penn State's averaging 55 points per game or something crazy right now. But they're not going to score 55 points against Ohio State.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to Ohio State.
He's going with Buckeyes. Okay. This is going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to actually seeing this game Saturday night. I watched Ohio State play last week. They've been rolling like crazy. I watched Penn State. They were losing to Illinois, and then all of a sudden, my God, in the third and fourth quarter, they came alive and scored 30-some points, ended up covering the spread. But, John, we are talking about Penn State University, home of old Joe Pa, whether it's good or bad. Happy Valley, you're going to have 90, 80, 70, I don't know how many thousand people screaming, wearing all white. You're going to have Saquon Barkley and them probably back in attendance just to see the game that night. Everybody's going to be so hyped up. This Big Ten game to go to Lucas Oil Stadium, Penn State, and they're going to flop. I've got the Buckeyes. Don't bet against Urban Meyer in this game.
Don't.
That was a little climatic there. I was going to go Penn State and then turn the tide. Turn the tide.
Yeah.
The other good game will be on. Go ahead.
I think Ohio State's the number 2 team in the country.
Ooh.
I'm not looking
at
nobody poll. Who's okay. We all know who number 1 is.
Yeah.
That's clear cut.
Yep.
Clemson.
I think Clemson or Georgia. Take your pick, Clemson or Georgia. Either one.
If they had it, okay, you know what, Brandon? Wishing one hand, crap another, see which one fills up the fastest. I wish they could play them like middle part of the season, like Ohio State could play Clemson in the middle part of the season.
Right.
Instead of had to play at the end of the season. The ACC is not the Big Ten. It's not. Heck, Notre Dame scored 56 points on Wake Forest, and I'm not saying Wake Forest is the middle of the pack ACC team. But Notre Dame tried to make itself look great by dropping 56. And now, oh my God, the Notre Dame people are already talking about signing them up for a national date for a national title. Slow down, Notre Dame. Slow down. Slow down, Notre Dame.
Ooh.
But
okay.
But I think Georgia's going to choke, dude. Choke.
But yeah, they're going to lose to Alabama probably, or whoever they.
Georgia's going to choke.
Number 7, Stanford, 4-0, who just survived, and you know, I talked about a little bit ago. They're heading to Notre Dame, taking on the Irish. So number 7 versus number 8, another great matchup. John, I think Notre Dame gets this one. Just with it being a home game, I think they get it.
Wow. Woo. Wow. I believe in Stanford is going to be better.
Okay. Going Stanford, huh?
Going Stanford, but
Going the Cardinal. All right. And the final one, number 19. We'll do a little Pac-12 action. Number 19, Oregon, 3-1, heading to undefeated number 24 ranked Cal. Cal Bears finally reaching the top 25 in the poll. I think this is the only time they make it. I think Oregon battles back, and it's a close game. I think they actually win this one as a close game.
I had to go with Oregon. You know, the Pac, they surprised me with the talent pool. I think it, man, I don't know. You know me. I like to look at the, I look at individual teams. We all know who's number one, two, three, four, five. It's, you know, technically debatable, but like when you look at some of these conferences, to where Calvin snuck up, they, you know, they actually got a good football. It makes things more interesting when you have other schools other than, you know, the same old, same ones, you know what I mean? And
right.
To have not necessarily parity just yet. Like Cal, if they ever met, you know, a Big Ten, if Cal ever met Michigan, I think Michigan would roll them, right? But
– oh, yeah.
Or even like West Virginia. You know, just different small – bigger small school teams. It's good for the – it's good for competition.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. We got about 25 minutes or so left here.
Okay.
Let's go to got started yesterday, media day. Training camps open
Uh-oh.
Today. The Uh-oh. National Basketball Association is back.
It's back.
I know this brings back memories to you, doesn't it, this song?
Off from NBC, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to NBC for that. John, so, you know, looking at the teams here, let's first talk with the Indiana Pacers, our hometown team. Training camp opens today. First practice was today. I like how this team is going to go. I don't know. I think this team is going to go as far as it wants, but that second unit, I think, has to play a bigger role this year. And I think that focal point is Tyreke Evans. Tyreke Evans is going to be your main scorer for that second unit, and he has to provide a better offensive display than what Lance Stephenson had for a second unit from last year.
Okay.
Dougie McBuckets, I guess he'll be, you know, he'll be a scorer for that second unit coming in for Bogey, but I'm hard to find minutes too for people because you got Collison, you got Joseph, and now you got Aaron Holiday in there. I'm a little concerned with who's going to be getting the minutes this year, unless there's injuries, which there always is, it seems like.
You know what the Pacers did, and they looked at the team from a small market perspective. So I listened to some of the guys and then backtracking some of their stats, like how they played on their bad team. So it's like, just be honest. O'Quinn played on a bad Knicks team and a bad Orlando team as well. McBuckets was on a bad Knicks team with him. And he's also played on some bad Bulls teams. And I don't know who else did he also bring in. Tyreke played on a host of bad teams between Sacramento and Memphis. But listen to him. Now they're older and they've matured since they're rookies. Times as rookies and whatnot, and their travels around the NBA. Long story short version, man, it's like bringing in starters. But
right,
like just listening to them talk, like I think the Pacers will win a lot of games. They'll win a lot of games because they're deep. They're not superstar deep. So like we know Lakers are superstar deep. The Golden State superstar deep, you know what I mean? But the Pacers is going to be like, they're going to win those games. Like those games, you know, I'm real critical of games like you shouldn't lose to Atlanta Hawks. You shouldn't lose to – they'll win those games. You shouldn't lose to
right. –
I know, I'm terrible on Atlanta Hawks. But you shouldn't lose to those bottom feedings like where sometimes
Phoenix.
Where the superstar gets tired. Like like the Pacers get hyped and poke up and beat, you know, superstar team of the week that came to – you know, to downtown Cleveland. And then the next two games, we lose to Dallas, who we should have blew out, or lose to Atlanta, who we should have blew out, or lose Sacramento, who should have blew out. Well, now, the Pacers have built a team that, okay, I get that we've expired a lot of energy playing, and we got on TV, and we all feel great, and the crowd was great, and the results were great. But now we got to remember, we got to go on the road. Now, guess what, Brandon? We got road. We got people to help us with that, to help us win those tight games. So I really see us chopping up a whole lot of games on the road. Pacers should be no worse than, drum roll, 50-win team.
Oh, you must have read my mind.
No,
you must
have
read my mind because I have written down 50-32.
No worse than. No worse than. Even with the fanfare that the Celtics will have. Okay? And it will be fanfare, and they're going to win a lot of games too. But pressure win, 50 games, and should, if we ain't top 2-3, because now we have, well, we don't, so we might not have a secondary superstar, but we have incredible depth. Incredible depth. And so long as Victor stays, you know, because he got tired last year. I mean, a lot of times people, as spectators and fans and even as media people, people are critical. Oh, man, this dude's 27, 24, 25 years old. They can't get tired. Well, guess what? They do get tired. They work out a whole lot more than the guys we used to watch back in the day in the 80s and 70s. They work out a whole lot more, and now you're expecting them to perform a whole lot more as well, right? Well, dudes get tired. I'm not making that an excuse. Okay, I'm not. But now we have a depth team that, okay, Victor's off a little night, or let's say Collison's off a night. Guess what? We got the rookie to come in, and we got Tyreek to come over here to fill up these buckets. And guess what? We got a kid named Jimmy McBucket, so he better be ready to shoot.
Yeah.
And we
got
depth. And we got Quinn, rebounder. If Sabonis and Flexum. That's what I call him now. Flex. He's improved his body. Miles Turner. Yeah, call him Flex now. In case one of those guys, have a night off. Now you got a guy who's logged a lot of minutes as a starter across the league. And if you tell him he's only going to get 12 minutes, because guess what? Pacers rolling tonight, and we got tight minutes tonight, and Kyler Quinn, you're not going to play tonight. Or we get ready to blow out Miami Heat tonight, Kyler Quinn, it's your night to shine, get your double-double. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I wrote down earlier today, I wrote down 50-32, I think they'll be, and I think it'll be no less than third in the East.
Yeah.
I think obviously the East is going to be the Celtics. They're going to be the number one team in the East this year. And Philly and the Raptors will be a fight for second. And then I think the Pacers, whoever does not get second, the Pacers will beat them and be in third. By the way,
Philadelphia is one ligament tear away from being back in the lottery. So.
Yeah. Your boy, for some reason, when I see him, I think of you for some weird reason. Your boy Kawhi Leonard, please tell me you saw his interview with that horrendous laugh that he had. That was freaky. That was freaky. If I can find that laugh.
That's how Halloween time coming up, man. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You can be him.
He's trying to be more personable, man. So let's take it for what it's worth. Maybe San Antonio knew something we are. Maybe San Antonio knew what we know now that, you know, dude.
I'll try to play it.
He's trying to show a little personality, man. And I know.
He came off
the total wrong way.
I'll try to play it real quick. I've got it here. Let's see if I can get it right.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. It's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a spill. I don't even know where you're sitting.
Now that laugh. Oh, my goodness. I've never had something make me cry out laughing more than his laugh. Ooh,
you know, Brandon. You know, we all know Kawhi Leonard is an incredible basket. Is he a leader? Is he the lead dog?
No. Absolutely not.
I think Toronto's got an incredible basketball player on their hands, but I don't think he's the lead dog.
He's not going to be there, John. They asked him in the press conference. You know, he said all the things that Paul George said. He said all the things that LeBron James said. He's saying all that. Well, I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm focused. Yes, a lot of people mean that, but deep down, that just means that he ain't staying in Toronto. Those winters, when it gets December and January and February up there in Toronto, this boy wants to be down South Beach, whether it be for the Clippers, whether it be for the Lakers. He's going to be in one of those, or even Miami. He could be in Miami next year.
I can see Miami. I can't, you know what? I cannot see the Lakers. Not now. Mm-mm.
Maybe not, but I think the Heat are quickly going up on my list for possible.
I think that could be Pat, one of Pat. I don't know how Pat Riley got long last, how long he got last, but I think Pat Riley got one more shot to put together a team. If he can get, he's got to get the center away though. He's got to get him off the roster. Nobody's gonna come down there. Nobody's gonna come down there with him, man.
Yeah.
Unless he turns it around.
Yeah. Pacers first preseason game next Thursday night against the Houston Rockets. Nationally, it will be on NBA TV. Locally, it will be on your Fox Sports Indiana broadcast. But it'll be interesting to see. I know it's preseason, but by God, it's basketball. It's back. John, me and you got to get to a game this year during the season. We got to go to a game.
Make it happen. I'll go see the Atlanta Hawks.
And then one of your boys, I don't know if you saw, he officially announced his retirement today on Twitter. I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but apparently I thought he retired about 8 years ago, but Jamal Tinsley has announced his retirement from the NBA.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's Larry Bird retiring.
Or from basketball, he said. He said from basketball, which I didn't know he was still playing. And, he's got to be about as old as Sam Cassell, it seems like. And I know Sam Cassell is old. let's talk about your boy. We got about 15 minutes left. Let's talk about your boy Jimmy Butler up in Minnesota. What's your take on that whole situation? He wants out. Tibbs wants to keep him, but Tibbs tried, and he doesn't want him. Now the owner wants to get rid of him. That's a volatile situation.
That's a mess. Jimmy Butler is tiptoeing on Team Obliterator, you know what I'm saying, status. He's tiptoeing into Team Obliterator status. He's turning down a $155 million contract the team wants to pay you. He's banging heads with up-and-coming superstars or potential all-stars. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I don't know. Towns got paid this week, actually. So that means Jimmy Butler's on his way out. But the locker room, you know what I'm saying, bucking heads with your teammates is becoming synonymous with Jimmy Butler's name. And then turning down a big money, I mean, and I get it, but like, you know, you turn down big money. Jimmy Butler is going to, like, you turn down big money to like say that you are as good as Klay Thompson or LeBron. And I don't think Jimmy Butler is as good as Klay Thompson. I really don't. He's going to get traded, obviously.
Did you see the teams he wants to go to? He wants to go to New Jersey.
Yeah, well,
or Brooklyn.
Yeah, because he wants offense. He wants his own team.
Oof.
He wants his own team. He wants his own team. That's what he wants.
Well, he can have his own team. It ain't gonna go that far.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But yeah, so go. I mean, I don't know if Brooklyn has the assets that, or any assets that, because they have a plan. They do. They got a lot of young talent on that team, but I don't think their plan is with something Jimmy Butler. Like, they don't. I mean, they might would approach Jimmy Butler in the off season about coming in. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna play in the off season as a free agent, but then you'd be messed up by the salary cap and like how much you can pay him or how much you could or could not pay him. Right? He's still trying to get paid too. I don't think they had the assets to give up. I don't think Minnesota has, like, they don't want those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Jimmy Butler, he wants to be hard head right now, but it's not necessarily, I don't know, I'm not saying it's not a good market. But you can't necessarily, you know what I mean, you can, everybody can't pout because they're, like, at some point you're going to have to play, you're not LeBron. You don't have those powers. You know what I mean? You don't.
Right.
You can't. Just, you know, obviously, that's why they pay Towns. But it's, I don't know, dude. Like,
Cleveland wants him.
They in Minnesota. He's gonna play for Cleveland. Like, dude, Cleveland wants anything so that they can still be an attraction. Because
right.
like once all that, now LeBron's gone, all that story go away, Brandon. Like, what's that story gonna be like? Now, there's still some Cleveland Magic with the football team, right, hanging around. That'll hang around and, you know, playmaker throws, you know what I mean, some more touchdowns. But what does that look like from the other? I mean, that's Paul Brown's arena. That, what does it look like from Quicken's side?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
You know, Beyonce and Jesse Jackson and Usher ain't walking through that door if you ain't got guns. If y'all ain't got, you know, playing and winning games in Cleveland. So, I don't know, Cleveland.
Right.
I
know I wouldn't
want
Jimmy. No way.
Him coming in a Pacers uniform is not going to have a snowball's chance. Him going to Boston is a snowball's chance. I know he dictated where he wanted to go. I don't know if – what's his name? Jerry West is interested in Jimmy Butler. Not like that. I think most gyms is interested in Jimmy Butler as, and I hate this term, the second fiddle.
Okay.
That's where you would have Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's not the guy. He can put up points to be the guy. He can put up stats to be the guy, but you won't win. You won't win a lot of games as him being a guy.
Yeah.
He's limited.
Okay.
He's limited. Dude.
Oh yeah, he is definitely limited. I'm sure next day or two we'll get the where Jimmy ends up going, and we'll all be pleasantly shocked as we always are every year in the NBA.
Maybe Dallas, a risker on him. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Final three things. One, we figured this would happen. Lonzo Ball is not 100% ready quite yet. Rajon Rondo is going to be starting point guard. When they open the season, and Lonzo not ready. So when he comes back, I don't think he still will have the point guard job. Lonzo will be coming off the bench. We'll be hearing from LeVar. LeVar's been oddly silent this summer.
He's had some failures. He's had a couple of blunders that he's encountered because he went into these ventures ill-prepared. And Big mouth is one thing, but you're gonna have to eventually back it up. And he hasn't had the cachet to back things up. The shoe went from everybody was kind of interested into it, even with its crazy prices. So like, is that you ever heard anybody talk about the shoes anymore?
Nope.
You know, but as far as the on-court stuff, he should shut up. As far as the on-court stuff, shut up. He cannot hinder. I don't think his oldest son. He can't hinder his talent because he's the talented one. I think he messed up his other two sons' potential to get to the NBA.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on
by being an overbearing parent?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Westbrook? He's not going to be ready. They're saying for the start of the season, so it looks like it's going to be the Paul George show. I think Oklahoma can still win with that roster and still with Paul George leading the helm. I think I definitely think even without Melo on that team, as bad as Melo was, I do think Oklahoma is going to be a lot better this year than last year.
Yeah, because they got a little pickup from Atlanta, and he's Schroeder. One, prepare for some ugly first couple games from the Lakers. Prepare for it. It'll be ugly a little bit. People will be wanting, like, why they didn't blow it. Like, it'll be ugly. They don't have any shooters. They don't have consistent enough shooters. We got one shooter. that you can trust. Who else can you trust as far as shooters on that team?
Oof. I don't know. It ain't going to be Lance.
Right. So, but no, and then but to your point, and then to your second point, Oklahoma, yeah, they'll win games. Hopefully. Hopefully it doesn't become a storyline that when Westbrook does come back, that they start losing games.
Yeah.
Because when he's not there, the ball will move more, and you'll see a more fluid offense, believe it. But hopefully when he comes back, hopefully he won't be a detriment to the team, but that'll probably be a story.
Okay. Well, I'm excited the NBA is starting back up. We've got training camps going. We're going to have a lot of ball to be talking. One last note, we mentioned earlier about the Colts game being against the Texans this Sunday. A lot of people I know go to that game. So the Colts did put out a thing today. Edwin Jackson, the former linebacker who lost his life this past February in a traffic accident, will be honored this Sunday at the Texans Colts game. All Colts players will wear an EJ helmet decal. The coaches and staff will wear a EJ lapel pin. Before the game, they're going to present the Colts will present the Jackson family, who will be in attendance, for a $25,000 donation to his foundation. The Edwin Jackson 53 Foundation, which was established earlier this year to celebrate his life and accomplishments. I'm sure they're probably going to do a thing for the Uber driver as well, who was also killed in that accident. So shout out all you that will be going to the game this Sunday, be looking for that. It should be a good ceremony there when they do it during halftime. So tragic life lost too soon.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
John, I do want to thank you for, by the way, I just saw this on TV. Did you know R-Truth is still in the WWE?
I love, every time I see him, I love him. He's hilarious. His wrestling, his in-ring style is left to be desired, but his character is hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy. Your boy Triple H and Undertaker here in a couple weeks. So get ready for that.
Get ready for a snoozer.
John, I do want to thank you for joining us again. As always, you can find him on Twitter, as we said, at Three Foolish Men. Find me on Twitter at Brandon Reef, our Crossroads page as well, Crossroads Sports. Our Facebook page, please like, share, subscribe. Keep leaving your comments. We did have a decent amount of viewership last week, John. So there was a spike in last week's viewership, I noticed. So shout out to those that shared it. I've had some positive comments from people I've seen over the past couple of weeks. So they like what they see. They said a couple of JB's takes were kind of hot takes that were a little wild, but I won't hold that against you. thanks for that. Well, we're going to try to get Brantley on here in about 2 weeks. Purdue just opened up their practices today. So we're going to be in about two weeks, try to get him on.
Well, hey, Brandon, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk sports with you. I do appreciate anybody who listens. I try to just talk, you know what I'm saying, what I know. And I appreciate everybody. I appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody listening.
Perfect. All right, John. Well, I'll put your bets on or your picks on there, and then we'll enjoy this week of football, and I'll get to you next week. We'll bring you back on.
All right. Take care.
All right, see you, buddy. All right, that was Jonathan Birdsong once again joining us for today's Crossroads Sports Radio Show. We're going to hit a quick ad real quick, and then we'll finish up for the day. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's dronepromedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. All right. I do want to thank you guys for joining us once again. It's great having you guys here, liking, subscribing, sharing, and let me know how you guys do enjoy the show. It's going to start ramping up a lot more. We'll have a lot more visitors on show as well. We're going to have Brandon Brantley from Purdue on here in a couple of weeks. My last thought, I would be remiss if I didn't say what a great weekend it was for Tiger Woods winning the Tour Championship and being very close to winning the FedEx Cup Championship. Tiger Woods is officially back. I don't think anybody can be more happier than myself. Being a huge Tiger fan, it was great to see him play. Him getting emotional at the press conference at the end. It was a little dusty here in the household where I live. So if you didn't get choked up as well, then you're not human. But great to see Tiger, all the troubles he's been through with not being able to stand up or get out of bed for a year or so, to the prescription issues he had and just away from the game of golf. So it's great to see Tiger back. He is the favorite next year now for the 2019 Masters. So that'll be interesting to see how he does in the first major. And Tiger's ready to go this week. This weekend, we've got the Ryder Cup. So that's one of the most prestigious events in the PGAs that they have. I'm excited to see how Tiger does in that and rolling with more momentum as we go on. So shout out Tiger Woods. Go Team USA. Hopefully you guys bring home the cup from Europe. They're in Paris, France. But awesome to see Tiger. Looking forward to bigger and better things next year from Tiger and what he can do. So I do want to thank you guys for joining us again today. Make sure you follow us on the Facebook page and on the Twitter page. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes and share the podcast when you get a chance. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you next week.
Crossroads Sports.